Hello, I'm Rachel Carbonell. Welcome to the Law Report. Today, the High Court decision not to allow deaf people to sit on a jury. A hearing-impaired lawyer reveals her personal experiences of discrimination in the Australian court system.
By that stage, I was fed up with the courtroom knowing my personal business. It's no one's business that I can't hear as well as everybody else. I had to explain to the judge in front of a full courtroom, including my client, that I was not able to hear him because the device hadn't been made available to me.
Yeah. And the Disability Discrimination Commissioner with his take on the case.
This misunderstands the role of Auslan's interpreters. They are there to facilitate communication access. They are not there to be part of the decision-making or the deliberation process of juries.
Queenslander Gay Lyons is the woman at the centre of the High Court appeal. She's speaking here through an interpreter.
I received a summons from the Ipswich Court. They summoned me to attend jury duty. It's something I've always been quite interested in. So I responded and sent off the application. I filled out all the questions that they asked. None of those things applied to me in terms of exemption. I said, as a deaf person, I need to have an Auslan interpreter in order to perform my jury duty. A few days after that, I received an email saying, oh, look, sorry, you can't join the jury because you're deaf. Fortunately for me, I just saw red. I decided to fight from that point on because I thought to myself, well, in 2016, well, it was 2011 back when this all happened, deaf people pay taxes like everybody else. They're forced to vote like everybody else. We live in an equal society, and yet we're always disregarded and marginalised. And I can't think why. Why does that happen to us? We're the same as everybody else. We're human. We have kids. We go to work. We drive cars. We pay mortgages. I was just fuming.
Last week, the High Court dismissed her appeal, to her great dismay.
Well, angry. Yeah, frustrated. After 5 years of struggle, just fighting for access for the Australian deaf community, it felt like a slap in the face. If the courts are willing to use interpreters in courts for any other cases, like murder cases, they use them in the family court, and they trust interpreters to work in those settings, what's the difference with trusting them to relay in a jury room? What's the difference if they work in court anyway?
Well, according to the High Court, the difference is that under the Jury Act, the law doesn't allow for an interpreter to be in the jury room, which means that Ms. Lyons wouldn't be able to perform the functions of a juror. Lawyers for the Queensland Government also raised concerns about the difficulty making sure translations by interpreters were accurate. And the ruling found that excluding Gay Lyons from a jury panel did not constitute unlawful discrimination under Queensland law.
And also, they found that there was no provision for an interpreter to take an oath to be able to then interpret faithfully what is going on.
Alistair McEwen is the Australian Disability Discrimination Commissioner.
I was quite disappointed. I understand the reasoning that the judges gave, and it was really a very strict interpretation of the law. However, I'm really disappointed that the court did not take a more broader human rights approach, and that is, we are still dealing with the stigma that deaf people cannot serve on jury equally with their hearing peers.
Do you think that there was a possible different interpretation that could have been made?
I certainly do. When the court announced its decision, the decision turned on the point that there's no provision, strictly, no explicit provision in the legislation in Queensland to allow interpreters into the jury room. So they took a very strict and literal interpretation by saying you can only have 12 people on the jury. My view is that when you look at the role of interpreters or sign language interpreters in this situation, they are not part of the jury per se. They are there to facilitate communication between two people of different languages, but they are not part of the jury deliberation process, so they should not be counted. And therefore, that was a missed opportunity for the High Court to look at the broader human rights connotation. I was disappointed, however, that they could not reconcile it with the Anti-Discrimination Act Queensland, which is there to ensure that if a deaf person needs interpreters, for any process in Queensland, then they should be able to have that interpreter. In this case, the fundamentals around the Jury Act was seen to take precedent over the Anti-Discrimination Act of Queensland, and that's disappointing.
Does that decision also preclude other people in society that might require an interpreter? Say, for example, if somebody didn't speak English?
It's very likely. A strict reading of the legislation in Queensland, which the High Court did, was that it does not enable for an interpreter of a foreign language or a language other than English to be able to take an oath to then be able to provide communication facilities to a person of non-English speaking background. So, yes, that could apply to other interpreters.
Wasn't one of the other issues the issue of confidentiality? It wasn't just that the Act restricts the number of people in the jury room to 12, but it was also about the oath that jurors take of confidentiality.
Yes, there was discussion around the role of interpreters maintaining confidentiality. Interpreters, Auslan's interpreters, are bound by codes of ethics, just like any other profession. You know, whether you're lawyers or doctors or accountant, you are all bound to maintain confidentiality of when you are dealing with your client. And interpreters, Auslan's interpreters, are no different. So it was disappointing to see that the High Court felt that that interpreter would not be able to maintain that confidentiality. When you think about the variables that come into play for jury selection, they are so wide. Why do we need to focus on deaf people? If a deaf person presents at court with an Auslan interpreter, why are we suddenly so focused on their inability to perform just because they need to have an interpreter with them? What about people who might get tired during the trial? What about people who might miss something or misunderstand something? What about people on the jury who fall asleep? You know, there are so many variables that I think that it's unfair that we continually target deaf people.
And you would have liked to have seen the High Court speak a little more decisively about the need for legislative change in this area.
Yes, certainly, as well as take a more broader human rights approach in the sense that there is currently research being undertaken, and it's soon to be published, where they have found during a mock trial with hearing and deaf people on the jury that there was no statistical difference between hearing people and deaf people understanding the deliberations of the trial, understanding the trial judge's instruction to the jury, and also participating in the secret jury deliberation with an interpreter. There's no difference between deaf or hearing people.
This High Court decision was in relation to the Jury Act in Queensland. What do the Jury Acts in the different states and territories say about this issue? Are they all similar?
In general, my understanding is they are pretty similar in the sense that they require only 12 people, or rather only 12 people can be on the jury and in the jury room. That's certainly the case in New South Wales. And we have tried to challenge that, and we've had a similar experience here in New South Wales where the state has taken the view that an interpreter is not allowed in the room because that would mean that would be more than 12 people. However, on the flip side, in Western Australia, 2 years ago, a deaf woman was summoned to appear at her local court. That local court, when they were advised that she needed Auslan interpreters, provided her with Auslan interpreters. So she was able to participate in the selection process. As it turned out, she did not make it to the second cut through a ballot, a random ballot process. However, my point is the Western Australia court system allowed her to have the communication access that she required.
So given that your understanding is that the jury acts around the country are similar in that they only allow 12 people in the jury room, which has been interpreted by the High Court to mean that you can't take an interpreter into the jury room. Do you think then that this decision sets a precedent as to how the jury acts around the country will be interpreted in relation to this issue of deaf jurors?
Yes, I'm afraid it will, because of the legislation in those states that require only 12 people in the jury room. So I would argue, again, this misunderstands the role of Auslan interpreters. They are there to facilitate communication access. They are not there to be part of the decision-making or the deliberation process of juries. So there was a fundamental misunderstanding.
What are the national implications of this High Court decision?
The national implications of this decision are that the court, the highest court in Australia, has taken a very strict interpretation of the legislation as it currently stands. And I appreciate that there is legislation there for a reason, and that is to protect the integrity of why we have 12 people on a jury, you know, 12 people of our peers, 12 people who are representative of the community. However, having said that, if deaf people cannot fulfil their civic duty by being on a jury, that means that we are not truly having juries that are truly representative of the wider community. So this strict interpretation will have an impact, and we need to see legislative change with a fundamental appreciation of the human right of deaf people being able to serve on juries.
How does Australia differ from other countries when it comes to allowing jurors with hearing issues to serve?
Well, we are behind. We don't need to look any further than New Zealand. New Zealand has, on a number of occasions, allowed a deaf person to serve on a jury. And in one of those cases, I understand that the man actually became the foreman of the jury. So there was no doubt whatsoever that deaf people can competently perform their duty. And in America, for over 20, 30 years, America has allowed deaf people to be considered for selection on juries. So they've recognised a long time ago that deaf people, in order to be able to perform their civic duty as a citizen, need Ausland, or in their case, American Sign Language interpreters. So my understanding in some states is that if a deaf person gets the summon in a state in America, they notify the local court of their requirement for interpreting, and that team of interpreters is ready to go when the deaf person arrives to perform their civic duty.
You're among the people who, since this decision, have been saying this means there needs to be legislative change. What would that legislative change look like?
So the legislative change needs to be approached in the sense that a recognition of the role of interpreters is to facilitate communication, not to be actually counted as part of the jury itself.
So more than just a requirement for an Auslan interpreter or any interpreter to take the same oath as the other jury members?
It's the same for interpreters in the sense that they are bound by confidentiality and they are bound to interpret to the best of their ability. So an oath should be structured around that approach.
How likely do you think legislative change is now?
Like any legislative change, I think it will take time. That deaf people are just as capable as anyone else of being on a jury. If we can have deaf doctors, deaf lawyers, deaf accountants, deaf engineers, deaf plumbers, the list goes on. There is no difference in a deaf person being able to fulfil their civic duties. So legislative change will likely take time. However, I would like to think that if the Australian public understands that if a deaf person can't perform their civic duty, then there is something fundamentally wrong with the system.
Australian Disability Discrimination Commissioner Alistair McEwen, with thanks to his interpreter Jasmine. You're listening to The Law Report on RN, Radio Australia, ABC News Radio, and on the ABC Radio app. Hey, I'm Rachel Carbonell.
Yo, 26 June, the day I was born, I learned to speak in a whole entire different form. My parents didn't budge.
And if you want to podcast or read any of the transcripts of the program, just search for The Law Report on the RN website. While you're there, if you're on the hunt for great podcast listening, check out one of my favourites, Late Night Live, with the wonderful Philip Adams.
People no longer looked at me as I was strange. Could you believe that not until 95, the rights of a deaf man in law was not identified? But now sign language was our native tongue, so even my father could show where he's coming from. He used to tell me if he got caught using his hands, the teacher would take those hands and give him a wham.
Now to a look at deafness and discrimination from the other side of the bench. Rania Saab is a New South Wales lawyer. She also happens to be hearing impaired.
So I was born with a moderate to severe hearing loss, and it wasn't actually picked up until I was 3 years old. And I was fitted with hearing aids at the age of three. And as I got older, my hearing has continued to deteriorate. I do lip read. I was brought up oral, which meant that I only communicated orally. That was a choice my parents made. Because my hearing continued to deteriorate as I got older, and because I can't actually hear anything when I don't have my A's in, I chose to do a sign language course several years ago. And what that does is that enables me to communicate with my husband and with some members of the deaf community using sign language.
Was it difficult for you to gain the access to the courtroom that you needed as a lawyer?
As a lawyer, I have worked really hard to request that everyone that comes to the court has access to justice, irrespective of what their abilities are. In my personal experience as a lawyer who works in the family court, I have really struggled over the years to get the access that I need to be able to hear in the courtroom. The access that I need in the courtroom is a system, like an FM system, where I wear a loop around my neck and the information is being transmitted directly to my aide. That enables me to participate in the courtroom on an equal footing with everybody else. Without that device, I cannot exercise my functions as a lawyer in the courtroom. My request for access to the courtroom is very simple. The device already exists in the courtroom. It's just a matter of having that set up. My difficulty was in getting access to the device because people didn't want to give it to me or didn't set it up on the right time, things like that. So it was about for me working with the courts to get a policy put in place where whoever comes to the courtroom that needs the device is able to access it with minimum hassle.
How long did it take you to achieve that?
It probably took a good year or two before the process started to work seamlessly. In one particular court, it happened a lot quicker. I was able to get the access to the device quite readily. But in another court, for some reason, I kept coming up against staff who didn't want to, for one reason or another, give me the device. You know, on one occasion, I was forced to appear before the judge without the device. I felt that I had been treated badly as a result of requesting the device. So those negative experiences really took a toll on me, and eventually we were able to come to the point where I can now access the device without any issues. But it did take a long time. And one of the things that always stood out in my mind was I can't be the first deaf or hard of hearing person to come to this court. Why hasn't this been done already or been done before? What about all the people who are using the courtrooms as parties to the proceedings, the lawyers? There must be other people who have come to the court needing the device. I can't be the first person. I mean, 1 in 6 people in Australia have a hearing loss. A lot of people may have grown up being told that they shouldn't ask or that they shouldn't have the access. I've come across many people in my life who have said to me, who have told me stories where they've clearly been discriminated against but have just shrugged their shoulders and said, oh, well, you know, what do you do? But it's not right because we all deserve to live in this beautiful country equally.
That situation that you referred to where you had to appear before a judge without the proper hearing aid device, what was that like for you?
Devastating. By that stage, I was fed up with the courtroom knowing my personal business. It's no one's business that I can't hear as well as everybody else. I had to explain to the judge in front of a full courtroom, including my client, that I was not able to hear him because the device hadn't been made available to me. And he was lovely about it. He just stood the matter down in the list so that I could get that issue sorted out, but that wasn't the point. The point was that it was an unnecessary trauma for me to be put on show that way and to be forced to appear before the judge without that device. It is not right that that happened. And that's why we need to change the attitude towards people with disabilities and stop making them feel like they're a burden or that they're not entitled to something. People in Australia need to recognise that we are all the same. We all have our differences and we all deserve to participate equally in our society.
What other hurdles have you faced in terms of your legal career?
It all started for me when I went to university. I had great support growing up. It was only when I went to university that I realised that there were real barriers faced by people with disabilities. I couldn't hear in the tutorials because people speak around the room. And when I raised that with the Dean of the Faculty of Law and I said, we need to change this, something needs to be done because I have a right to that information as everyone else. I'm not getting that information, so it's impeding my studies. He just shrugged his shoulders and said, oh, well. So again, it's about attitudes. I think there is always a way around a problem. There is always an answer to a question. It's just how. How do we make the accommodation?
What has been your worst experience in the Australian court system that has been representative of the kind of discrimination you've sometimes come across because of your hearing impairment?
Picture this. I'm in court, 8 months pregnant, wearing the hearing device, appearing before a judge that I've appeared before for years and who knows that I am deaf. On this instance, I'm actually representing a client who is hard of hearing like myself. I had to fight to get some access for him to the courtroom in the form of real-time captioning. During this hearing as to how much time my client should spend with his child, the judge continually expressed a concern about my client's hearing impairment. His only concern throughout the hearing was, how could my client parent this child on his own, given that he had a hearing impairment? And it was very devastating to me to hear that. To hear that concern being repeatedly aired when it wasn't raised as a concern by anybody else was a slap in the face for me, because there I was about to become a first-time mother, and all I could hear from the bench was, is it in the best interest of this child to spend time with his father, given that his father had a hearing impairment?
So how did that experience affect you?
It devastated me. I cried for weeks about it. I really, really took it personally. Basically, the message I was getting is that deaf people can't parent their children properly. This is coming from a highly educated, respected person in our community. This is a prejudice held by someone that I wouldn't expect to have. It's upsetting to me because there have not been many instances in my life where I have seen discrimination occur before my very eyes. So that's why when it happens, it's such a shock to me, because I cannot comprehend it. I cannot comprehend how people can have these views, these unfounded and very hurtful and very exclusive views. I keep getting told, as a lawyer, good on you for becoming a solicitor even though you're deaf. And the problem is not that I'm deaf. The problem never has been that I'm deaf. The problem is that our society is not built to accommodate people with disability. So it's not that I overcame my disability. It's that I overcame the prejudices and the non-willingness to enable me to participate equally, to get the education, same as my non-hearing impaired peers.
What was your reaction to the High Court decision in the Gay Lions case, the case in Queensland where a woman was appealing having been rejected as a juror because she wasn't allowed to have an interpreter in the jury room with her?
Disappointment. But I can say that I wasn't surprised. My experience is that people with disabilities are excluded from our society, and that's not how it should be. And I think it just confirms Australia's position with respect to people with disability. The exclusion of people with disability from jury service means that juries are not being comprised of the full diversity of our community. We've got defendants with disability, do we not? They can't even have a trial before their peers. I think the irony for me is that I'm a lawyer with a disability. I can appear before a judge, even though I'm deaf. Clients can appear before judges, defendants, civilians, but if you have a disability, you're automatically excluded from the jury. The message that the Australian court and the government is sending to the Australian people is that we decide on what terms you participate in our society if you have a disability. Clearly, this just tells us we need legislative reform. But this is not something new. We knew this from a long time ago. The New South Wales Law Reform Commission did a report in 2007 about deaf jurors' access to court proceedings using sign language interpreting, and they said deaf and blind people should serve on the juries and not be automatically excluded on the basis of their disability because reasonable adjustments can be made.
There have been some precedents in relation to people who have been summoned for jury duty who have hearing impairments in New South Wales, haven't they? And they've actually gone to the UN?
Australia signed the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in 2008. Now, that convention is a very important document. It basically provides for equal access for all people with disability to live equally in society, to participate equally in society. Now, two people in New South Wales made a complaint to the United Nations about being excluded from jury service on the basis of their disability. One woman requested an Auslan interpreter and she was denied the request. Another person on three separate occasions requested real-time captioning so that he could participate in jury duty, and he was rejected that request. In both cases, the sheriff's office said they couldn't provide the support because it would undermine the confidentiality by introducing a non-jury person into the jury room, which is similar to the Gay Lions case. The UN experts found in April this year that Australia violated the rights of these people by failing to provide them with the access that they needed to be on the jury. Further, the UN committee recommended that Australia should ensure that every time a person with a disability is called up for jury duty, a thorough, objective and comprehensive assessment of his or her request for adjustment is carried out and reasonable accommodations are provided to enable full participation.
Is there any concern that this decision will influence how any potential future challenges to jury acts around Australia might be interpreted in the future?
I think it may dissuade people with a disability who have been excluded from jury service from taking the matter further through the course, because that is the decision that was handed down, and the Jury Act as they stand are not welcoming towards people with a disability. They're actually in contradiction to the Anti-Discrimination Act. And the concerning thing is, what message is this sending to our children, our leaders of tomorrow? This continual exclusion of people with disabilities is sending a very negative message. If you have a disability, you will continue to be excluded.
Lawyer Rania Saab.
I use sign language, yeah. We got our own language, yeah. Proud of the I am. We got our own culture, yeah. I'm bi-cultured here. We got our own history, yeah. I'm part of history. We got our own society. This is my community.
And the music you're listening to is from Finnish rapper Signmark. He's the first deaf hip-hop artist to sign a recording contract with an international record company. That's the Law Report for this week. I'm Rachel Carbonell. Thanks to producer Anita Barrow and to technical producer Matthew Crawford.